Yes, love is begging door to door.
Welcome, everybody, to the SideQuest, your regular video game and cultural podcast from the team behind SideQuesting.com. I am the one, Dolly Domofsky. Joining me is also the one, Sam Dixon.
Hello. You caught me off guard without doing the real roll intro thing. I always expect to hear it, and then I was like, oh, wait, what? What is this show?
Threw everybody off. I'm just starting my coffee right now, so by the end of the podcast, I'll be a lot louder, I promise. Joined also by Robin Miller.
Hello, friends.
Friends, we are friends and family. We are framily.
Framily, I like that.
Framily, and that Tom Johnson.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey.
Oh.
It's not this time. Robin, it's not you this time.
It's not. When that happened, I could have sworn it was actually me for some reason. Then you guys.
He is really hanging. Oh, is he gone?
Oh, there's two of him. Are there two Dollies now? Is that what's happening? The one is more than enough. I don't think the world can handle two.
Are they both frozen now?
Yeah, unfortunately, I think we lost both.
Oh, there's a third.
There's a bunch of me.
This is amazing. I'm going to casually print screen this.
Oh, no. What do we do? Do we fly the ship without
it? How do we go on?
I'm just so confused. I don't even know how to start. Do we talk about games? What do we
talk about how I'm on this podcast with a bunch of pores who can't run VR.
Oh, it's going to crash again, I guarantee you.
Back? No, nope, gone.
I'm kind of back. Okay.
Oh, wait,
yay!
Yes.
Yay!
I told you Google Chrome is the worst thing ever. If I somehow disappear during this podcast. I'm actually interested to hear what you guys were talking about the time that I was gone.
We were trying to figure out how to carry on without you. That's what we're really going.
How will the world ever know how to carry on without me? At least in the podcasts. Oh goodness, sorry about that, everybody. Yeah, technical difficulties. As I was mentioning to the team before we started, Google Chrome is not a friendly beast. It is a horrible creation that crashes unexpectedly on my MacBook all the time. Anyways. All right, good. All my doppelgangers have now officially fallen out of the hangout. So I
saved a screenshot of that.
Oh, excellent. How many Dollies does it take to run a podcast? Apparently four. Anyways, yes, welcome everybody to the Side Quest. We love having you around. We gave Sam that amazing intro that he wanted, so don't weird away. Yeah, anyways, we have a fun show today. Oh, there's my cord from my microphone is floating around here. Fun show today. We're going to talk a little bit about what we've been playing and the state of VR. And we have a so-called VR expert in our midst today. So he's going to sit all high and mighty on the episode. Anyways. Let's talk a little about what we've been playing. It's been an eventful couple weeks since we last recorded. Tons of games, surprisingly, digital games especially, have been releasing things like Firewatch and Witness and Snoopy's Grand Adventure and other amazingly popular games. But so I'm interested to hear what y'all have been playing. And I'm going to hop over to Sam first because Sam just completed a game that we were supposed to have the developers on, but we've been trying to work out the scheduling, having some issues. But Sam, tell us what you've been playing.
So I don't know if I'm going to pronounce this correctly, but I believe it is called Shachimi Seriously Swole.
Okay, seriously.
Yes. It is a like side-scrolly bullet hell shooter where you play as a fish with a gun, and he has really strong biceps. it's interesting. I can say that for sure. it's sort of I would assume it's a roguelike, like. You know, every time you die all your lives, you have to start back from the beginning. And
this
it's a little
is Wii
like,
U,
boss
right?
rushy. Yes, but I believe it's also for I think it's on PS4 and Steam.
Oh, is it?
Also.
Okay.
I know that the Wii version just released, and that's the version that we got code for. But I believe it's on other systems as well.
Have you other guys looked at this game? Because I'm looking at it right now, and I didn't realize this is a goldfish with, like, the beefiest arms I've ever had.
He is, in fact, seriously swole.
That's where that comes from, Stu.
Yeah, it's for PS4, Vita, and Steam also. So PC, okay. I would assume. It's kind of... I don't know. It's like... It's definitely not for people that like long, extended experiences. Pretty much you only spend 10 seconds per level while you're playing. Oh, wow. It actually... And at some point, the music starts to grain on you. But it plays like a little musical ditty, and you have to like survive the wave of attacks coming at you, of different fish and sharks and whatnot. If you survive the wave, then you get 5 seconds to make a decision. I think it's 5 seconds, might be six, to make a decision on what upgrade you want to like take into the next round. Some of them are permanent, some of them aren't. And you basically just have to destroy bosses and save the ocean, I believe. The whole story is about, he's a goldfish. He has a very short memory, so he can only remember his heroic exploits in like 10-second intervals. So it's about him recanting the story of him saving the ocean, and it's interesting. It's one of these more you can have a good experience with one player. I'm definitely advised to have like a couple more just to play co-op.
Okay.
The only problem is like it's not a very hard game. I my brother and I were able to finish it two player in probably about an hour and a half. And once you kind of figure out the trick, you'll be able to get there yourself pretty easily. But it's honestly enjoyable while you're playing it. It's definitely, and what seems to be the case nowadays of the games I end up reviewing, it's one of those like you and a friend need something to play for a weeknight, and you just want to start a new experience and you can get through it in that night or maybe moving on to a second night. This is definitely one of those games.
Seems like a good, almost like a palate cleansing type of experience then in a weird way. Okay.
And on Wii, you can use like any controller. They even joked that at one point they had the Wii balance board up and working, but it ended up not working well for it. There's some comedic writing and stuff, but really once you've sort of like dug into it in a major way through the campaign once, it's just repeating itself. There's a boss rush mode and a harder mode, but after a certain point, you almost run out of new jokes and things to go back to pretty quickly.
So it's an indie game. I'm trying to ask the right questions, I guess. It's a short game. I don't really know. It sounds interesting, I guess. I mean, I need shorter experiences, right? So those always work better for me because I don't have a ton of time to sit in front of the
right?
Yeah, mine and somebody else's. No, I don't get a ton of time to sit in front of the TV as much as I'd like to. Do you think this would be better off on like a portable or a handheld device or something?
On Wii U, you can use the tablet feature for it. And I do see, as I'm like on their website, I do see, note, the Vita version will not contain local co-op. So if that's a thing you're
interested
in, that seems to be.
Unfortunately, there aren't enough Vitas to warrant a second player. I love my Vita, but I haven't turned it on in like 7 months.
Yeah, it's definitely like a small enough experience that if it was on the 3DS or the Vita, you'd be able to just pop it on, maybe play through a couple missions, and maybe go for a run, and as soon as you die, move on to something else. The thing that gets me with it is there seems to be like once you've seen it's sort of like joke structure and you've seen like all the enemies, which you'll end up seeing probably within the first half an hour. Mm-hmm. They don't do much to mix things up, towards the end. So you're basically just going back through those levels over and over again, which is fine. But then on top of that, like the same grating music and like all that stuff. And eventually you'll just get bothered with it to an extent to give up or, want to quit playing it.
Okay. Oh, it's interesting. I mean, I had heard about it. I saw, I think it was like sometime last year they first started really talking about it. I don't know. Was this wasn't a Kickstarter game, was it? I'm not sure if it was or wasn't.
I think it was. I think it got okay. Kickstarted, and then a publisher picked it up. Or this Choice okay. Publishing, picked it up.
Oh, and that's right. Yeah, Choice
brought it out. Yep.
Choice Provision. So, I don't know. It seemed like a little diversion type of a nice little diversion game. So, I might take a look at it then. If it's as short as you say it is, and it just kind of is, it may be fine for a weekend, a Saturday night when you have nothing to do and you have a couple friends over and take turns playing it.
Yeah. Okay.
Should I mean the same. Flash.
Oh, man, the puns are starting. It's going to be a good show. Excellent. What else have you been playing, Sam?
That's pretty much it. I mean, I've been like playing some Halo 5 multiplayer. Okay. I also, just pure mistake, and now it's slowly taking over my life, I downloaded that Marvel Avengers Academy mobile game.
Aww. Okay.
And I've been playing that. And hey, I tell you what, I don't ever intend to play or pay money on it. And I really don't like the whole like set somebody to go do something and wait like 2 hours to come back type gameplay. But mm-hmm. Man, some of the storylines are written like super well in that.
Yeah, they're not bad. It's,
yeah, it's like everybody's like fanfic of the entire Avengers like crew from high school together. So it's actually the storylines aren't that bad. So I've been playing that and enjoying it for the most part.
Cool, cool, cool. There's a mobile game I just downloaded called I think it was one of the app stores, most popular games. Piloteer. It was for free, so I grabbed that. A Battle Hand and OKKO.
These sound like NES titles.
Right, yeah. So I grabbed a few of those, and of course Final Fantasy, the Portal app allows you to download Final Fantasy 1 and 2 for free or something. So I've downloaded both those games and have them on the Final Fantasy Portal app. So, yeah, very cool. Okay, all right. Marvel Avengers Academy. Is it like a side-scrolling type of game, or how would you...
No, I guess a lot of people have been comparing it to The Simpsons Tapped Out. I've never actually played that. Yeah, it's basically just you have like a message board, and that's like, you know, like go send Tony Stark to like look at computers for half an hour, and like go tell the Wasp to take selfies for a couple minutes, and then you eventually get to like storyline.
Because superheroes just love taking selfies for a couple minutes.
Well, and what's so weird is, so the Wasp is in that, and then also Hank Prim is like one of the teachers, but like I'm pretty sure they've referred to him as her father, and I'm almost certain in Marvel continuity they're husband and wife, so it's kind of a little weird, but...
Well, I mean, she's gonna be.
Yeah, well,
in the movies, he's her daughter, right? Hank's daughter.
I've never read Wasp comic books, so I don't want to say for certainty. But in this, they definitely have mentioned that he is her father.
Okay.
And that seems a little weird, but who knows? It needs a couple more like new heroes. They're just trying to pump it full of all the like Marvel movie heroes that everybody knows and loves. Other than Miss Marvel, so it needs some new additions and whatnot.
Like,
but
like current Miss Marvel or old Miss Marvel?
Current Miss Marvel. All
right, cool.
Cool, cool, cool. Yeah, the amount of stuff you can find on an app store is kind of amazing right now. And I listed, excuse me, Lara Croft Go as one of my favorite games of 2015 because it's really fun. If you haven't played it, I seriously can't recommend it any more highly. It's a phenomenal puzzle game. And I think they just announced it's coming to the PS4 as well, which I might just pick it up again just because it's a gorgeous visual game and... Very neat. So cool. All right. Good deal. Marvel Avengers Academy. How about you, Tom? What have you been playing?
I played all of Firewatch.
Okay. How long is that game?
Like 3.5 hours.
Okay. I picked it up as well. It's sitting on my PS4. It's one of the few games that actually can fit on the tiny hard drive.
Yeah. It's like 3.5 gigs.
Yeah. Great. Cool. Okay.
But it's good to see. It's like one of those good games for one setting.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it actually is. Like, I don't think I would have gotten as much out of it if it was like multiple. Like, when I played Oxenfree, I went back to it multiple times, like 5 or 6 hours. And I feel like that diminished the experience, whereas I feel like my enjoyment of Firewatch, which I've seen a lot of people complain about the ending. I'm not going to get into it.
Okay.
I really liked it. I think it's a really gorgeous game. But, you know, I'm super biased because I have a I'm currently sitting between two Ollie Moss posters that I paid a bunch of money for.
Oh, he did the design work for Firewatch, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's you saying this that it's good for like one long sitting almost reminds me a little bit of like Journey. Remember, yes. Journey was great for once. You didn't want to play it in a couple sittings. You wanted to just get through it all at once.
Exactly. And the experience is a lot better because of it.
Okay. Cool. So it's single player only, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
It is. The whole thing of isolation is a key theme in that game. So
one of the things that I've been seeing is the images that people have been posting online.
Oh, getting their pictures printed?
Yeah, getting your pictures printed. So is that only Steam?
Yes, that is only PC.
Oh, man. I mean, you can still kind of do that, though, if you just save the images onto your PS4.
Yeah, but then they send you, like, it in a photo booth envelope with, like, all the stuff written on it.
Oh, awesome, awesome.
I ordered mine this week. I'm very excited for that.
Oh, did you? Cool. I might have to pick it up for PC just for that.
Yeah, I'm going to replay it just for that. I had no idea. So you played it then.
You played it, Robin?
Yes.
I did not like it.
I loved it. I thought it was great. It's hard to talk about without spoiling.
Exactly. That's the thing, right? It's a hard game to talk about.
So just tell me, what is it about? Because the basic, what's this game about?
You play as Henry, a guy that is in the wilderness of Wyoming, and you're on Firewatch, as the name implies. Mm-hmm. So you're assigned this tower, and you're supposed to just look out for any brush fires that start mm-hmm. up. And your only link and your only contact out in this wilderness, which is so beautifully rendered, is Delilah, who's another person on Firewatch, but you could see her tower in the distance, but you can't actually see her. You can't reach her. There's a ravine between you that's you can't pass over. So it's primarily about that relationship that unfolds via walkie-talkie and exploring that connection that can occur between two people when you don't even really see one another and what can happen when you're isolated to that degree.
Okay. I'm looking up images right now for Firewatch and video, and there's this style of game now which has It reminds me a little bit of Destiny, and I'm sorry, not Destiny, No Man's Sky,
mm-hmm.
and there's a few other few games where it's just really gorgeous, high contrast, very bright and lifelike polygonal, almost like a cutouts and polygon style, where they're the really bright brights, dark darks, and gorgeous colors in between. I'm looking at this.
There's a lot of high contrast stuff. A
lot of high contrast.
It is.
And everything seems to – every shot that I'm seeing right now that people are taking just has a beautiful composition.
It's so picturesque.
Oh, excellent. And the whole nature of that – and I'm looking – I'm hold this up to the screen. But there's this one, which is kind of a famous shot of the tower.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole concept behind it, Ollie Moss is kind of a king of this art style, but you've seen it proliferate all over the place now. It's, to me, I'm very thankful for this style because I'm getting not necessarily sick of the 8-bit and 16-bit retro style, but it's been done to death, and I know it was easy to do pixels, but going polygons now in this kind of poster-esque look is really intriguing.
Well, they're taking the art style and design philosophies of screen printing, where you are able to use so many colors, so you have to figure out how to use those in unison, and they're taking that to a 3D polygonal space, and it's really cool to see how they're exploring that limited palette in that engine.
Very cool. Yeah, it looks gorgeous. I have it downloaded. I'm hoping to jump in hopefully soon here. I have a huge backlog, which I'll get into in a second here, but what else have you been playing, Tom?
I got a couple things, so let me get the name. I got this thing called Super Galaxy Squadron today.
I've heard about it. Is that
It's Dave Oshry's game.
Dave, yeah.
Yeah.
Hi, Dave.
That is a really cool, like, vertical Ikaruga style, but, like, pixel art shooter.
Okay.
Bullet hell shooter, and I played it for about 45 minutes. I got another thing I can't talk about until next time. I got a beta key for Black Desert Online that unlocks tomorrow, so I'm curious how that's going to be. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
I got the Division is available for everyone this weekend, right? I think.
That game's cool.
Yeah, mm-hmm. The Division beta. So I'm excited to take a look at that. Cool. Let me get into a little bit of what I've been playing and my methodology. Then we'll go.
Yeah, cool. Tell us about the hottest games of 2014.
The hottest games of more like 2009. No. Let me take 2013. It's even better. So
tell us about Dark Sector.
One of the things that I've been doing. Let me get this more out of the way here. One of the things I've been doing is. I've wanted to get back into my stinking backlog, and I'm gonna have an article going up that details this. But I wanted to get into my backlog. I had all these games, and they build up. And I'd always told myself, you know, I'll do the trial method where I beat two games before I buy a new one, or complete two games and then buy a new one. So that way I'm
okay.
Slowly chipping, right? That way, only a third of the games I'm playing are brand new. Well, guess what? There's a ton of great games coming out that it makes it very difficult to. You want to stay up to date with all the new games. At the same time, you don't. I'm the kind of person I don't want to leave a game hanging. There have been instances where I've gotten like, if a game is really bad, then I'll stop playing. But for the most part, I won't leave a game with just either a couple hours in or just a couple hours left. I want to finish everything. I paid for it. Dang it, I'm going to finish it. So I thought, thanks, Tom. I just saw that tweet. So I figured, you know, I'm going to put a list together of all the games that I have yet to complete and go from there. And it started with the 12 games of Christmas thing, which I had Fallout 3 and a few other games in there. And I figured, okay, yeah, which it was difficult for a lot of us because the holidays got busy. So I thought, okay, I'm going to expand on that. I'm going to use that as the basis for my 2016 backlog clean out and dive into just my entire backlog or a ton of my backlog and see how far I can get. So beginning of February 1st, I thought, here we go. And I should have posted the article back then, but I'll post it now. I said, I'm going to start with all these games that I have tons of them here, things that I've been playing over the last couple of years that I just never completed. Stuff like I've played Splatoon online nonstop, and I love it, but I have hardly gone through the single-player campaign. So I figured, okay, my goal is to complete the single-player campaign, get that done. Rayman Legends was kind of the same thing. I had gone through a ton of Rayman Legends but never completed Rayman Legends. So, and I have a huge list of games. I'm not going to read them all off, but, you know, Splatoon, Rayman Legends, Arkham City.
Oh, not Arkham Knight, Arkham City.
No, and I have Arkham Knight as well. So here I have Arkham City, Arkham Origins, and Arkham Knight.
Just play Arkham City.
Yeah. South Park for the Xbox 360. So I do have to say that Microsoft opening up backward compatibility is a godsend. Thank you for the Xbox One for at least just getting this up and running, because I finished Fallout 3 last year for the first time, and it got me interested in Fallout 4, which made my top five of the year. South Park, I didn't realize how great of a game South Park was, and now I'm really excited for the next game to arrive sometime this year.
Fracture Ball is coming out this year.
What's that?
The
Fractured Butthole is supposed to come out this year sometime. So anyways, I have a list of games, and I have zero PS3 games on here because the PS3 is put away. Unfortunately, Sony is the only company that doesn't allow backwards compatibility between the last few consoles.
Hey, if you subscribe to PlayStation Now, you can play all sorts of weird and terrible games on there.
Yeah, exactly. But like... So the unfortunate thing about my PS3 is it's going to be relegated to never getting those games completed. Anyways, so I have a ton. I have I put 52 games on my list.
Holy shit, Dolly.
That I want to complete between February 1st of 2016 and January 31st of 2017. So I have 12 months to complete it. Also realize that there's still huge games coming out this year. We have Uncharted 4. We have the next Zelda game. We have Star Fox. We're going to have Pikmin 4. We're going to have – and that's just like a few games. There's Gears of War 4. There's a ton of games.
Wait, there's a Pikmin game, did you say?
Pikmin 4 is coming out this year, supposedly.
You could just skip Star Fox, probably.
Yeah. Well, I think Nintendo's about to skip Star Fox. If the rumors are holding true. I know. But tons of games that I've thought, okay, I've got to get through these. So, so many new games coming out. How am I going to handle 52? That's a game a week that I have to complete, not including brand new games and reviews and all that kind of stuff that we're going to be getting. Thankfully, a lot of these are... the majority of these are games that I've had in various lengths of completion, and yet some of them are massive RPGs. Xenoblade X, which I've been told is easily at least 80 hours. So there's like 6 months of my time right
there.
You're
never going to finish that game.
Never going to finish it. Witcher 3. I know. I'm
never going to finish that game.
Never going to finish that. I loved Witcher 3. Skyward Sword. I'm really hopeful Nintendo releases another version of Skyward Sword.
Just play the first half and stop.
Right, exactly. So there's the games of that. The Bayonetta 2. I'm actually almost complete with Bayonetta 2 and Wonderful 101. Deus Ex. Assassin's Creed 4. I realized I never completed Assassin's Creed 4 Black Flag. I got through the majority of it, and I think I'm at like the last third of the game. So, or last quarter of the game. So, Darksiders 2. So I have tons of these games that I want to get through. And also a lot of these are games that I've completed before, but I've bought like the HD versions, like Dishonored. I repurchased that. Last of Us, I repurchased that. And I figured I'm gonna beat these this year. I'm not going to get through 52. I already know it. It's going to be insane trying for it. If I can get through, I'm hoping 35 to 40 of these games, then it will be a huge win for me. So that was February 1st. I've completed the Splatoon single player. I've completed Rayman Legends, and I'm almost done with Arkham City. So almost 3 weeks in, I'm through three of those games. So in a way, I'm actually kind of on schedule. Then I'm being split between console and portable helps because the 3DS I can take with me anywhere, and you know, during lunchtime at the office, I can get a few battles in on Majora's Mask, which I never completed, or Xenoblade 3D, which I never completed. So there's or even Persona 4 P4G. I have it on the Vita, and I'm planning on awakening my Vita just to complete that game. So that's where I'm at. I've been playing Arkham City. What a great brand new game that is.
It's a really good game now.
That's the game I'm playing right now. It actually is a pretty decent game. Arkham Asylum, I love that more. Looking back now, Arkham Asylum, I love that more because it was a very contained experience, if that makes sense. You're only in the asylum, so there's very little places to have issue with. I mean, everything's kind of contained, right? Arkham City is huge, and a lot of areas are blocked off early. But so there's some issue with what you can and can't access in Arkham City. But I'm enjoying it. The characters are great. The animation is surprisingly good for a last-gen game. That's my gaming life over the last
What's next on your list?
Well, after Arkham City, I'm going to take a break from Batman. I figure it'll be a Batman game every 3 months. So I'm going to finish South Park. So I'll go through South Park, and then I'll probably have – I'm going to do Wind Waker HD more than likely after that because I never –
such a good game.
Wind Waker HD? I never played it for the Wii U. I have it. I never cracked it open. So
it's the best Zelda game, Dolly.
Maybe I'll hop in with Link's crossbow training because that's on my list as well. I have like seven Zelda games to complete. So Link's crossbow training, I can complete that in like 20 minutes. They'll give Tsushima a run for its money. And then, you know, there's tons of great games on here. What I've been doing is taking these games, and as I complete them, I throw them up on like a trading site, like 99 Gamers or Let Go or something, and get points for them. And what's funny is as I completed Rayman, and I think I had some other old games, I've acquired like seven more games since I started this whole thing, clearing out old games and bringing in new ones. So like I'm right back in the in the mess of things. But I'm excited. I'll post my list online over the next few days here of everything that I'm playing. I use this app that Jeff Grubb and a couple other folks recommended called Google Keep, which is an awesome little like note-taking, list-making. Really yeah, list-making app. I didn't know about it, but just a nice way to make lists. So that's what I've been using. Very cool. That's cool. What I've been playing, and nothing special. Just I'm trying to catch up on old games. A lot of Hearthstone. I've played enough Hearthstone where I've been able to unlock everything. Essentially, I'm excited for the new changes that are coming in. And then Ryan Gann has me started on over the holidays. He got me going back on Magic. So
bless your heart.
So at PAX East, will be. I think I may be playing. I'm going to try to get into one of the Magic tournaments, or at least play at, or maybe we'll do a side questing Magic the Gathering tournament.
No. I'll bring my Sliver deck.
There you go. I know little about it, but it all came back to me. I played Magic the Gathering over 20 years ago. That's how old I am. So I think it was like, 95? Yeah. That I started Magic the Gathering, and I have all those old cards too. That are worth a few $100 that I found out, which is kind of cool. But
that's awesome.
I'd like to thank Robin for being the one person on staff that's been on a podcast with us that hasn't made me really, really sad at any one point.
I'm sorry.
Usually it's Sam, but today
that makes you sad because of Evo Festival.
Where did that come from?
This fucking Magic the Gathering renaissance of Dolly DeMonte.
Yeah. Guys, I'm going to start using a yo-yo. It's an amazing new tool.
Oh, you and Ryan.
No, I started I'm actually teaching myself juggling. That's one of my bucket lists for this year, so.
Going to get deep into hooping next? Yeah. You just got to start hula hooping.
No. Devil sticks.
Devil sticks, yes. Yeah. I got this guy as well. Did you pick the guy up, Sam?
No. I have a Ness, but I didn't get a Lucas. I did, however, pick up a Rosetti and a Blathers when they came.
Oh, okay. See, I have not been buying. I
ordered Cavern.
Oh, did you? Yeah. I had I was broken. The Amiibo craze broke me. And I stopped like religiously looking for Amiibo. Now it's, if there's something in front of me on sale, then I'll pick it up. And this Lucas was $6 on sale at like Best Buy or something. So that's what I got. And then I picked up, I have two Lego Dimensions sets. I picked up I had the Doctor Who that I got for Christmas, but then Cyberman and Dalek were on sale for $6 at Best Buy. So I picked that up. I had to buy Lego Dimensions so I could play with them.
I got the Poe Dameron Disney Infinity and the Boba Fett Disney Infinity.
Cool.
Nice.
Cool. And so what's funny?
Disney Infinity.
Yeah, that's what we're turning into. But okay, that's all I've been playing. Let's hear a little bit from Robin. Robin, what have you been playing besides Firewatch?
Yes, besides that's why it disappeared briefly because I realized if we're talking about non-video games that I should equip myself.
Sure.
Aside from Firewatch, I played the Division beta.
Okay.
It's lots of fun. Cool. I should probably preface this with the disclaimer that I am horrible about any massively online games.
I'm don't probably... you get any puffy coats?
Yes, I got a really cool parka, actually.
I'll be playing that this weekend, the Division beta. They've announced it for...
I'll play that with you.
It is by far the best car door closing simulator I've ever
heard about.
That's all I did. I had to close every single door on the way to whatever destination I'm heading
that
to.
That OCD is amazing.
It makes me horrible to play with because I'm like, oh, wait, there's people shooting at us. Let me close this trunk for this person real quick.
The care with which they rendered that city.
Really?
Yeah. It's amazing.
Uncanny as someone who has to go to it like several times, like 3 to 5 days a week sometimes. Like it is unfucking canny with how accurate it is. Like the streets are a bit too wide, but that's about it.
They're wide for combat purposes.
Yeah, exactly. Like there are subway entrances where they're supposed to be, there are like doors where they're supposed to be. Everything is As it should be, and it's really weird.
As it should be. Mm-hmm.
I think it's safe to say that the Division will be off to a much better start than Destiny, and I know that's the low-hanging reference to make in that case, but the only thing I had with it is that, you know, I have limited experience with Tom Clancy games in the past, and those experiences have always driven home for me the hyper-realism. And that's lost a bit in the RPG elements of the game. It's still cover fire based, but you can, whenever you get a perfect headshot and know you get a perfect headshot and are rewarded with a series of numbers coming off of the person's still running around and shooting at you, it's a little disheartening. So I'd like to see them boost the impact of the actual bullets, I guess, in that game. Because even with Destiny, you would have this satisfying head pop animation on occasion with the enemies, whereas these guys seem to eat bullets and then fall over randomly at a delayed point. So that's one thing I'd like to see them work on. But there's a lot of potential there. I like the degree of customization that can go into your character's appearance, even if the facial configurations are randomized only in the beta stage. I like the group play element of it. I didn't really get a whole lot of experience in the Dark Zone, namely because I played with my dear friend Katie, who aggroed everyone within like a block of us somehow. And
she is vicious online. There's a mean streak there.
There is. And the thing about it is, if one of your friends goes rogue and opens fire on other players, and you're in their party, you're also labeled as rogue, and therefore all the players will come after you. So it's very easy to find yourself in a situation.
It's like Leroy Jenkins.
yes. Yeah, Katie is my Leroy.
Come back, Katie.
Yeah, she disappeared in a subway or something for like 2 seconds, and then chaos erupted. the Dark Zone's a really cool multiplayer idea because you never know if someone you encounter is going to turn on you or actually help you. So there's a great tension that comes out of playing in that area, especially because that's where you get all your good loot, and you can only get that loot if you extract it from the Dark Zone. And that notifies everyone on the map that you're trying to extract stuff, and they can choose to come after you, and typically do.
It's so good.
It's great.
Cool. I'm excited. When they first announced it, I wasn't huge into. I'm like, okay, great, another multiplayer, MMO online shooter type of thing. But everything I've been hearing about it just makes it seem kind of cool. And just the car door OCD. All of a sudden, I'm like, that's like when we were first when we first started playing Destiny, or the Destiny beta. We did it. We got together.
Oh, you with that soccer ball?
With that stupid soccer ball, right?
Oh, it's just
those little things that the little ticks that we pick up within games that we get drawn to for like no reason whatsoever, you know, like the so that kind of stuff, it's kind of endearing, I think, a little bit. So I'm much more excited now and looking forward to it than I was before.
Cool.
So, are you playing anything else?
Yes, my dear friends got me addicted to an app called Puzzle and Dragon, which is
finally on that
welcome to Puzzle and Dragon.
Oh gosh, I need to get your guys' friends' codes. So you know, it's like a cross between Pokemon and Bejeweled or Candy Crush. And you solve these puzzles to create combos, which affect how much your monsters attack. And then you can level up your monsters effectively by feeding weaker monsters to them. It's called fusion, but it's essentially sacrificing your weaker beasts to the more powerful ones in order to make them stronger. So that's been fun. The thing I went and grabbed earlier, since we're talking about magic, is the far more sensible alternative that my friends recently gifted me with, and that's Smash Up. So it is a awesome deck building game. And they have tons of expansions out. Effectively, what you do is you select two factions, and typically if you want to have a fair game, you should choose them at random. Combine those two factions and then play them competitively for bases. And whenever you score a base, it gives you victory points, and whoever reaches 15 victory points wins. So it's really user-friendly. It borrows heavily from most trading card games, and in particular Magic, even though you don't have to worry about mana. What I like about it is that you get fun combinations like dinosaurs and ninjas, or you can play Cthulhu monsters. You can combine robots and zombies in a deck if you wanted to. And each deck has its own strategy. So if you choose at random, you have to really learn to work quickly with what you have and pick up on the rules of your deck on the fly. So it's a lot more cost effective than Magic too.
If we ever do a side questing mini con where we all get together, maybe over the summer or something, we'll have to just break out all these CCGs, because it sounds great. I'm so, and it's all because of Hearthstone got me back into it. So that sounds fun. Just the uniqueness of smashing up two different factions.
Oh yes, it's delightful too, because it's really easy. Whatever the language is on the card is how it acts, so you don't have to know what, like Trample. I know that's an easy one to figure out from Magic, but you don't have to know the vocabulary to approach it. So I like it because it's almost like the gateway drug to trading card games. And if there's ever anyone that I want to introduce to the concept without necessarily overwhelming them, Smash Up's a great way of doing that. It's been really fun to play at parties too.
Cool.
Check that out.
Yes. Excellent. Anything else? I'm trying to. You mentioned Puzzle and Dragons, and I'm like trying to remember my login name because I deleted the app for a little while.
Oh no!
Do you guys remember how big the booth was for Puzzle and Dragons?
Oh yeah.
PAX East.
Yeah. Well, they were showing off the Mario Brothers Puzzles and Dragons there too, right? Yeah.
Oh geez, the rabbit hole goes deeper than I realized.
Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah. The Mario one is actually surprisingly fun.
It's super good.
Yeah. If you have a 3DS, totally download the demo. It's. I was surprised at how good it was. I still haven't bought it yet, but I wouldn't be surprised if that ends up making its way onto mobile devices with Nintendo's recent falling in love of mobile gaming. So. I think it'd be a good one. But excellent, cool. Very good. So that's what we've been playing. A lot of variety, which is great. From mobile games to console to games from 2011. So it's always a positive, positive thing. But let's get into today's topic. So we were trying to figure out a topic, and then it dawned on me that a good one was staring me right in front of my eyes, and that would be VR. And there have been a lot of articles about Oculus Rift and the pricing. And we briefly touched on it, I think, a couple times in the last few podcasts. But I really wanted to get a good discussion going on VR. So if you're like me, you have loved everything virtual reality you've seen, like from the higher-end things like Oculus and Vive and the PSVR. From my standpoint, it is – pretty phenomenal. The very first time I put the Oculus Rift on my head was at E3, like I think it was like 4 years ago, 3 or 4 years ago, and tried EVE Online. Back then it was just EVR, or maybe it was just EVE Online VR. I can't forget what it was called. and loved it. It blew me away. Of course, back then it was like 480p and grainy and stuff, but it was awesome. And since then I've been watching it. I didn't get a chance to be a Kickstarter. There's a chunk of change to put down on something that I didn't know how it was going to last. And unfortunately I missed out on, the free upgraded kit that they're giving all the Kickstarter donors now. So whoever did like that guy, whoever he is, Tom's going to get this, for free, which is super nice, but, so I've been interested in it. And then I saw the price drop. And I thought $599. Ooh. Well, at least, you know, I can kind of understand the $599. You know, it's brand new, and you're getting a lot more than just the goggles. You're getting a controller and some other things. And it is, they're higher end devices. Go ahead.
They're custom panels, which is probably why they're so expensive, because it's like you need just for that device. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. So it's understandable why it's. In a way, why it's so expensive. I think the messaging was bad the whole time because everyone was expecting these $350 to $400 VR goggles, and they were bumped up to $600. Irregardless of that, I thought, okay, well, at least this brand new computer that I bought last year in April or May, whatever it was, top of the line. Well, at least I'll be able to play it. So whenever I do save up enough money, it'll work right away. So I downloaded the little app, and lo and behold, my computer is not Oculus friendly.
What's wrong with it? Everything?
No, just the top two. So it's all about the graphic stuff, right? And I have a laptop. I'll just say it all out. I have a laptop, which is supposed to be a really nice high-end laptop. It does great things for all the graphics and CAD and modeling software that I use. So I would have thought, oh, it should work fine then if I'm using like high-end design software. But it's not, because even the computer that I have at the office, which is super high-end, it's the top-of-the-line mobile graphics card, that isn't even worthy of an Oculus Rift. So all of a sudden, this purchase that was $599 jumped to $1,500 very quickly. And I know they sell the bundles right now, but I got very dismayed by that aspect of it. So to me, as someone who just bought a computer specifically for gaming and hopefully for VR and stuff, I got a laptop because I don't want to have a desktop. For VR, I'd probably like to be standing up and being a little bit more of an open space. But I was dismayed because I just got this $1,500 computer, and now I have to dump it and get another $1,500 computer and a VR headset. So I don't know how you guys all feel. I know, for instance, Tom is super – he is smiling under – he is getting ready to chew me out. I don't know. But how do you guys feel about this? The pricing and the expectations of VR.
I don't think it's anywhere near mass market yet for that reason. Okay. Like, I think that's, the Captain Obvious kind of statement.
Sure.
I imagine, like any other technology, just because it's so new, this is like the first generation of it, I imagine that the pricing will eventually even out.
Mm-hmm. Hey, DVD players cost $1,000 when they came out.
Exactly. so that's my hope, at least, because there's been such a backlash about mm-hmm. the cost. And it's definitely, it's nothing that I can afford at the drop of a hat or even after a couple months of savings, because mm-hmm. it's essentially rent for a month.
Yeah.
And like, there's been a lot of backlash against it being a luxury item. And I think that's where a mistake might be made with VR. Because there's a lot more practical purposes to it than that. And I'm looking forward to a day when there is a more affordable alternative, but I'm not bent out of shape against or about the current price.
So I have Google Cardboard, and I have, I have another device where you just drop your phone in, and it's a nice idea, but that's not real VR.
Right? Cardboard I have one too. it's for what it is, it's nice. There's not support about it. If you have an older phone like I do, then it's pretty shoddy because your phone starts overheating pretty quickly.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. My iPhone 6 overheats.
But guys, you can watch interactive Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue content.
Well, no, so here's the thing. So I'm glad you mentioned that, because that.
Are you really?
No, because now I know what to download for my Google. No, that's how VR is being mass marketed, right? It's it's not being mass marketed for gaming. It's like, hey, check it out. It's just another funky way to view, Sports Illustrated. It's another funky way to view experiences. It's not being treated like something that's actually interactive, right? Because there are ideas where, and there's an app, I forget the name of it, but there's an app, maybe it's the Vice app or something, where there's full, like you're sitting in a concert watching a concert take place in front of you. And I think that's kind of cool, but there's only one concert. And it's like, maybe it's for a band that not everybody, even I forget the name of the band. It's a band
Coldplay.
For not. Yeah, Coldplay.
Coldplay.
But so I don't even think we're there yet on the mass appeal content wise. And so, you have this niche product. And I think right now VR is very niche, no matter what anyone says. Mm-hmm. Anything other than a high-end VR device is a viewfinder. It's like a little kid. It's a kid's viewfinder because it's just something that you're going to consume for a few minutes and buy from Sharper Image.
Well, good news for you because the new viewfinder is actually a
VR. It's actually VR. So I'm not sold on the. I think there are definite mass. Well, there could be a lot of great mass appeal to this thing that experiences the interactive stuff. I think could be awesome, but there isn't enough of it, and it's not being treated the same way as what actual VR is, because it's mm-hmm. you're getting a viewfinder, and that's being labeled as VR as opposed to what real VR is, which is what's Oculus, and then even the Vive going even further, if that makes sense.
So, but it's going to get there because, like, Facebook would not have spent $2 billion on a product if they didn't want it to become some Ready Player One dystopian future. Mm-hmm. You're jacked into the fucking grid type situation.
I mean, I'm excited for it. And I still remember PAX East last year, and all of us went into that booth. And coming out, all of our jaws were dropped, right?
Yeah.
Wow, that was so awesome. And it was really awesome. And I want to play Alien Isolation or Arkham City in VR. But I won't be able to if I have to spend like $2,000 on a setup. Because I want to get something that I need a laptop. I don't need anything. For me, anything other than a laptop is a VR-specific device. And I can't spend like $1,500 on a VR-specific device that will only serve one purpose. So I'm more interested in the PlayStation VR, depending whatever pricing that's going to be. If they can get that to $399, then I think that VR for the mass audiences might have a chance.
Mm-hmm.
But if not, it's going to be a long time. And my worry is that it'll fade out faster than it really picks up steam.
That's my big fear, too, is that it'll be permanently associated with this niche market.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And when in reality, it's going to take a couple of years for the content to catch up and actually be there. Mm-hmm. Even with my cardboard, I probably use it more than the average person does. Mm-hmm. But that's because, there's a lot of practical purposes outside of just the experience.
Sure.
So like I sometimes struggle with anxiety. So I find that there's this one app that is like this soothing environment that I can just kind of sit in for a while. And I found that's been really useful.
Cool.
I think as we figure out more purposes for it and actually have something to show for VR, my mm-hmm. hope is that it will catch on.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you're absolutely right in that the PlayStation 1's our best bet for it to reach a wider market than people who are willing to drop like $800 to $1,500 mm-hmm. on a new VR device.
Yeah, I don't think VR starts. So the rumor or the news broke today that the GameStop CEO or somebody mentioned that, we're expecting PlayStation VR for
the fall.
Right. Which is out of the...
Surprising no one.
Right. Surprising no one. It's out of the early 2016. Actually, it's surprising. It's out of the early 2015 that Sony initially said like 2 years ago, 3 years ago, when they first showed Morpheus. But so that's going to be the big holiday push. So you're going to see bundles of games with... you're gonna see bundles of the console and VR headsets, which could make a cool pack. Probably, I'm guessing it'll probably be like $1,000. You're gonna $999. You'll be buying a PS4 and a or somewhere around there, a PS4 and a PSVR and everything else you need, because you need the camera and you need the the full setup. So it's gonna be really interesting to see how Sony markets it and if they can do a good job, a better job than the PS Move, which was. Mm-hmm. Even though it was technically way more advanced than the anything the Wiimote had, it failed miserably because Sony just didn't know how to market it. And then you have Kinect, which was pretty awesome, and it sold well at $150 because it actually drove a ton of Xbox 360 sales, console sales. But that now has died. So I'm worried if people are – like the mass consumer isn't into gimmicks anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a pretty pivotal year right now, in my opinion, for VR. And it's not because of Oculus Rift, It's because of the bottom, which maybe is PSVR. It's the most consumer friendly. And you have the top, which is the HTC Vive, which for all intents and purposes, everybody is gaga over the Vive as being the actual VR device. What's shaking your head there?
I'm not feeling. I don't like Vive.
You don't like Vive?
I like the way it looks. I think it is. They are wildly overestimating the amount of people that are going to want one.
Sure. No. Right. Exactly. And that could be the super niche version until they say, oh yeah, Half-Life 3 is exclusive to Vive, and
it's
then
it's going to be the fucking Linux OS of of VR.
So we have different ranges of VR now, right? Mm-hmm. You have VR is either a kid's viewfinder, which you shove your phone into. It's the PSVR. It's the Oculus Rift. It's the Vive. And even Microsoft's headset concept, the HoloLens, kind of fits in there because it's something you wear on your head. So you have all these different ranges, not even including all these other third-party headset makers, designers that are working on stuff. There's no standard for VR right now. And that's kind of scary too, because I could see somebody buying something for the PS4 or buying something for the Vive or the Oculus Rift and having a completely different experience on a different device.
On the bright side, it looks like it's getting kind of there. It looks like people are kind of going with Oculus as a standard, because if I scroll down my Steam list, they now have a Steam VR section of titles that you have in your Steam VR, which in all intents and purposes means they're Vive. They're calling it Steam VR now, right?
Yeah.
But all of those are also Oculus compatible in the same
way. Cool. That's good.
Which I think is good, and I hope that continues to be a trend, because I would hate to be like, oh, this works with the Oculus, but does it work with the Vive, or it works with one and not the other.
But it could be this works with both of them, but I don't get all the same features because the Vive is much more of a bigger open space thing, right?
But maybe
I'm not sure.
I don't know how it works. Like how this whole thing is going to work.
So for me, the pricing, and the computer requirements were kind of a 1-2 punch on really not necessarily raising a red flag, but really slowing me down as I get near that finish line to purchase something in this, in the genre, in that vein. I was really excited, and the technology is going to wow me every time I see it. But man, knowing that price and knowing what I'm going to need to get into it.
I looked at having a $0 barrier to entry.
Yeah. You have a $0 barrier to entry. Not having that mortgage helps, right?
I had to, like, I have a beastly production machine.
Okay.
Because I need it for work. Actually tax deductible.
And so yours is a desktop, right?
Yes, I have an 8-core Intel desktop.
Oh, no.
Nice.
With a NVIDIA 980 Ti in it, which is a monster of a card. And so I could just run the thing, but I could see if you have, like, there are a lot of people I know who have, like, their CPUs out of date. So that you need to upgrade a CPU, you need to upgrade a motherboard. That's like $700.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I just dropped out again. If I disappear, keep talking.
So even these people have like just one thing wrong with it. Like a compatible video card is not cheap. Like in the grand scheme of things, I think the minimum is a GTX 970, which comes up to like you can get one for like $300, which is still a decent amount of money. But compared to other things, it's like relative to the other things in that price point, it's fairly cheap. But still, it's a $300 fucking barrier to entry.
That's my barrier, actually, because my everything else on my computer squeaks by. I have more than enough RAM. Yep. My processor's an i7, and it squeaks by. But the graphics card...
That's exactly where mine gets nailed to.
Everyone I know that's bottlenecked so far, you two are interesting, because everyone I know personally who's bottlenecked, they've bottlenecked a CPU.
Really? Oh. No, mine's a graphics card.
Yeah, that seems to be the hot thing, is the CPU thing, which...
I squeaked by. It would definitely work, but it was not even mid or high range of what'll work with Oculus.
Tom, do we know if what Robin and I have for our PCs, will it still function, or will like maybe worse experience, or will it just not work at all?
Here's the thing: I've run current DK2s and whatnot very well on stuff lower than they have recommended spec than they have for minimum specs.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I don't understand.
Maybe this is just a way for them to say, this is the optimal experience. This is the lowest. I just don't know if they're going to lock folks out if they're not meeting their.
It's not going to lock it out. It'll just run like garbage if it doesn't work. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be like a gate where it's like, you don't have the stuff, so this thing's not going to turn on.
This is the point where they're going to need some type of I'd love to see like an Oculus Rift rental program or some type of program where you can lease it for like a week, like a month or
go
something.
Go to a Blockbuster and
yes, no.
Blockbuster, poor Blockbuster, poor one out. No,
rest
but,
in peace.
Rest in peace, pieces. But I'd love to try one out and see how it functions before I take that plunge, which there really isn't a way to do that right now.
Yeah. Also, an aside, this is completely unrelated, but as someone who has to create video content based on video games, I'm not looking forward to when those things come out.
You're going to have the dual eyeball things on the screen.
Yeah.
It's gonna look like a fucking Iron Man heads-up display.
They'll just be a picture of your face.
Yeah.
But yeah, so VR, Sam, what do you think? You've been kind of quiet. I know you've had a chance to try it, but
well, no, actually, I've been like staying away from VR until the consumer versions have come out. I've had the like cardboard on my face, and I've used one of those Disney VR things from like 2000. I don't know if you guys remember Vacation in Disneyland. It's really bad. But no, I've been like purposely like trying to wait until consumer versions of these products are at a show floor. And this year at PAX East, I'll probably actually put my eyeballs in one of them.
That's going to be interesting.
Yeah, from just my friends that like aren't really into games and so much. They know what Oculus is and how Facebook wanted them for $2 billion. And to be honest, the price of Oculus doesn't shock me, doesn't surprise me, doesn't anything. I know running a 2011 MacBook Pro, there's not a chance in hell that I'm going to be able to run an Oculus Rift off of this thing.
Wasn't like one of the development kits possible to run on a MacBook Pro?
I'm sorry, what was that?
Weren't one of the original Oculus? I mean, I know they said they initially wanted to run on a Mac on Mac, but didn't something actually run on MacBook?
I'm not 100% sure. Everything that I've seen running one has been a high-end PC.
Okay.
Like every time I go for a demo, every time I've used one personally, it's always been a PC.
Okay.
So I can't speak definitively either way.
It'd be interesting to know. But yeah, I agree with you, Sam.
So the only real VR solution that I'm even like for myself consumer wise looking to get is PlayStation VR. And I think actually it benefits Sony to have both Oculus and possibly the Vive go first, just to sort of put this in people's eyeballs. And then when they see like, you know, when Sony obviously is going to do a huge marketing push for PlayStation VR when it comes out. And they can see, oh, well, I already have a PlayStation, or at least I know of the PlayStation brand, and all I have to do is buy one of those, and I guarantee that I can make these, you know, quote, same, like, Oculus experiences on my television for me. I think that's actually going to play into Sony's hand, perfectly. And hopefully that means that you get enough people invested in it where you can start proving to developers that this is a larger audience to actually want to develop for. Even Ubisoft is already thinking that that's where everything's going to go with their Eagle.
That was awesome. Yeah.
So
I see Robin smiling.
I'm so excited about that.
but to me, it's almost better for Sony that all this sort of backlash and all these people that didn't understand before that Oculus was going to become this luxury item. Is seeing that now that Oculus is sort of like out of their grips. Because even I'm sure for a consumer that's never built their own computer and stuff, the only option that they would safely want to choose for an Oculus would be to buy one of these like PCs that is like Oculus ready. I believe Alienware is selling that one now.
It was on sale today, and I haven't actually looked at any of the pricing on them.
But trying to tell somebody that's interested in Oculus, oh, well, you have to have this CPU and this graphics card if you want it to work. They're not going to have any idea unless they see a button on the page that says, you know, this is Oculus ready. This comes with an Oculus kit, has everything you need. With a PlayStation thing is it's just going to be a box, and I'm sure it'll have the move controllers, the camera, mm-hmm.
And every PlayStation is ready. Yeah.
Headset. Yes, and every PlayStation 4 will be as far as we know, as we're assuming, is it'll be ready right out of the box, and there won't have to be any other additional parts like that. And they're not going for a greater display, it will be cheaper cost. You have Sony Entertainment that it would hopefully be making other experiences than just the game experiences. So you'll get people that have a PS4 partially because it's a Blu-ray player, mm-hmm. And their kids can do things on it. That'll be like, oh, what was it during E3? They had that that tightrope between the New York Trade Centers. Did they have that movie? Yeah. They had that like experience that could do with like VR.
And the Game of Thrones the wall thing.
Right? Yeah. Yeah, that experience to us is like, you know, whatever, that's like a 5-second demo. As soon as you play it, it's over. But those are the type of experiences that for normal consumers that have never had access to this or have only ever experienced the sort of cardboard VR and the Google VR stuff, that this is the type of stuff that, oh, I can actually like feel like I'm there in my movies. Like maybe this is something that I want to do because I watch a lot of Netflix at home or something like that. So as long as Sony's price like isn't comparable with the other two, I actually think that the price of the Oculus might hurt it in the long run, but might actually help VR if it helps propel Sony to selling a lot more units to people.
Cool. I have no idea how they're gonna price that thing.
Yeah, that's the big mystery, and it said first half 2016 with the price, but we haven't heard it yet.
If we're just talking headset, the headset itself is cheaper, but they're gonna have to have a second box for processing because it has to render 120 frames a second
for the Sony. Yeah, it has the second box attached to it.
Yeah, I know, but the thing is, like, how much is that box gonna add?
Sure. Sure. Well, it's that box is up. Yeah, exactly. How much does it add to the actual cost? Right.
Because like the headset itself is going to be cheap.
My thoughts are that we're going to get the PSVR will be fully unleashed with price and date at E3. I'm wondering if Sony's actually waiting. I have this weird feeling that Sony still doesn't have a ton of games ready for this year for the PS4, and so. You know, I almost wonder if VR is going to be their big push, right? And then they're going to say, okay, like No Man's Sky is going to be – I guarantee you that's going to be VR. That's why that game hasn't come out yet. So I think that could be their big push to say, hey, you're going to get – for every PSVR you buy, you're going to get a copy of No Man's Sky.
Yeah.
And also, then, boom, you know.
They've also proven that they can benefit from going last.
Right.
Also, they've started selling bundles on Amazon. They have 8 bundles available starting at 15.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. Of various makes.
It's going to be really interesting to see how it all shakes out. I think this year is more pivotal than the last couple were, because we've been saying it every year for like the last 4 years. This is the year of VR. Is the year of VR. No, this is actually the year of VR.
There's also the thing that PSVR is going to have an advantage in, that they're going to have a consistent experience. Whereas everyone with an Oculus or a Vive is going to have a different experience because no one has uniform hardware.
Sure. Yep. So, all right. Well, there's our good VR conversation. I think that it was either going to be that or talking about Plastic Instruments and the decline of Rock Band and Guitar Hero again.
No.
Unfortunately. But maybe we'll save that for another conversation. But great convo today. Great great thoughts about VR and looking forward to hearing more about it and hearing Tom's great thoughts when he actually gets the VR system.
Should be getting one in like a month and a half.
Nice. We're actually trying to get it for the office to do some cool development stuff, but we'll see what we're gonna have to buy a whole new computer, desktop to get correctly. That's it for the side quest today. Thank you very much, everybody, for joining us. It's a good hour of me dropping out a few times and a couple doppelgangers along the way, so that was good. Great conversation, great talking about some of the interesting games. And I actually kind of like not specifically focusing on just video games. We talked some board games. We talked about some other stuff. If you listeners like us doing that, let us know, because I'm totally cool with doing that. It might make for some more interesting conversations. during the podcast, because we like more than just video games, and this is a side quest, so it's more than just one thing. So that is it. Thank you again, everybody. Thank you for joining us. Thank you to Robin, Sam, Tom, and thanks to myself. Huh, that's weird. For this episode, it was awesome having everybody back together. We are in the midst of planning our PAX East stuff right now, and then E3. Oh my lord, things are moving along so quickly.
So nice. I'm looking forward to PAX.
Yeah, it's gonna be great, great fun. It's my favorite show of the year.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of planning going on.
Oh no, we lost him right at the end.
Like at the end.
Wow. Okay. All right. Well, I'll be Dally for a second.
As I'm closing the show, I get kicked out. Anyways, thank you everybody for joining us. You can find me at Dolly Domofsky. Robin, where can they find you?
You can find me at A Robin Miller, and that's Robin with a Y.
Where can we find you, Sam?
At SamDI79 on Twitter.
And Tom?
And I'm at That Tom Johnson on Twitter.
And I, you can find us at SideQuesting on Twitter, SideQuesting.com, the SideQuest podcast. Please rate and review us. Let everybody know. We totally appreciate your comments, your thoughts, your ratings, your reviews, good or bad, hopefully good. And I'm going to cut this out because apparently my computer isn't stable enough, not only to run Oculus Rift, but obviously to just function at all today. Thank you, everybody. We'll see you all on the next side quest. Peace and love.